Welcome back, my friend. I want to tell you about an uncle of mine who was nothing like the uncles you know. He was tall as the mountains, broad as the horizon, and his eyes never seemed to blink. His name was Cronus, the youngest of the Titans, and the one who dared to do what all his brothers feared. It was a time before the gods you've heard of, before Zeus, before Hera, before the noisy squabbles of Olympus. The sky god Uranus ruled above, the earth goddess Gaia below, and their children, the Titans, filled the space between. But Uranus was a hard father, and the family lived under his shadow. I wasn't there, of course. I hadn't even been imagined yet, but I've heard the story so often I can almost feel it. The air heavy and still, as if even the wind was holding its breath. Cronus wasn't the strongest of the Titans, but he was the one with the nerve to strike. And once he did, nothing in our family was ever the same again. This episode of The Olympic Family is brought to you by Helios Sundials, the cutting edge in time technology about 28 centuries ago. That's right, the original solar-powered device. No batteries, no gears, no updates. Just one handsome block of stone and the sun itself, faithfully telling you the hour, provided it's not cloudy or nighttime. But hey, perfection is overrated. Now you might be wondering, Harmonia, how do I get one of these beauties? Simple. You'll just need to head back to Athens around 600 BCE. Ask for Helios, tell him I sent you, and he'll chisel in a little laurel wreath at no extra charge. He may even haggle a bit. Don't worry, it's part of the experience. And because Helios really values our listeners, he's offering a special deal. Order before the next equinox, and he promises same-century delivery. That's right, guaranteed within 100 years, or your drachma's back. But don't delay, because Cronos waits for no one. So pack your sandals, adjust your flux capacitor, and go grab yourself a Helios sundial today. Time has never looked so ancient or so stylish. Don't tell anyone, but when I first heard this story, that was the day I began to understand how dangerous courage can be. Cronus's power was not the noisy, crackling kind you hear in thunderbolts. It was quieter, heavier, like the weight of the seasons turning, or the patience of a seed buried in the dark. He ruled over time itself, though not in the way you might picture it with clocks and calendars. His time was deeper, slower. The great cycles that turn the world. Planting and harvest, darkness and light, beginnings and endings. When Cronus held power, the order of things felt unshakable. Days followed nights, the moon's face changed in its familiar rhythm, and the Titans kept their places in the cosmic dance. He also ruled over the harvest. That sickle of his, the same one he used to unseat Uranus, became a symbol of the ripening fields. Imagine its curve flashing in the sun as golden grain fell in neat rows. For Cronus, the sickle was more than a weapon. It was a promise that what was sown would be reaped. Among the Titans, Cronus's authority was absolute. He was not given to sudden bursts of rage or careless whims. His power was deliberate. He could wait, watching a plan unfold over years, even centuries. Patience was his strength, and it made him dangerous. But there was a shadow to that patience. Cronus feared change. He feared what might come if the cycle moved beyond his control. A prophecy had been whispered that one of his own children would overthrow him, just as he had overthrown his father. Once that thought took root, Cronus's gift for patience twisted into something darker. Watchfulness that never rested, suspicion that grew like ivy, covering everything. He could keep the seasons turning, the harvest steady, the Titans in line, but he could not stop the future from coming. That, my friend, is the trouble with power. The more tightly you try to hold it, the more it slips through your fingers. Cronus knew how to master time, but not how to trust it. Before Cronus wore the crown of the Titans, there was only the endless embrace of sky and earth. Uranus above, Gaia below. You might think parents that grand would be gentle, but the truth is their marriage was tense. Gaia, the earth, gave birth to many children, the Titans, the Cyclopes, the hundred-handed giants. But Uranus did not love all his offspring. Some he feared, others he thought ugly, and so instead of letting them walk free, he forced them deep into Gaia's body, locking them away in darkness. Gaia's pain was more than sorrow. It was pressure, anger, and a slow, rumbling need for change. She began to whisper to her children, the Titans, about overthrowing their father. One by one, they turned away, unwilling to face Uranus. All except the youngest. Cronus listened. He was clever and curious, and he didn't tremble the way the others did when Uranus's shadow passed over them. Gaia gave him a gift, a sickle made of adamantine, a metal so sharp it could cut the very sky. She told him what must be done. On the appointed night, Cronus hid among the hills. When Uranus descended to meet Gaia, Cronus stepped forward. The blow he struck severed the sky from the earth forever. Uranus's cry was like thunder breaking apart, and in his rage he cursed Cronus. One day, a child of yours will do the same to you. At first, the curse seemed harmless. Cronus took his place as ruler of the Titans, and under him began what poets call the Golden Age, an era without war or hunger among the divine. The Titans walked freely, the world was orderly, and the sickle became a sign not of rebellion but of ripening. It was during this reign that Cronus wed Rhea, his sister and equal in majesty. She was as steady as the mountains and as graceful as a river's bend. Together they seemed unshakable. But the memory of Uranus's words clung to Cronus. When Rhea bore their first child, Hestia, he looked at the infant and saw not beauty but threat. The prophecy whispered in his mind. He could not allow it to come true. And so in an act that still chills me to picture, Cronus swallowed the child whole. When Demeter was born, the same. Hera, then Hades, then Poseidon, each vanished into the darkness of their father's belly. Rhea's grief deepened with each loss, and somewhere inside Cronus, the patience that had made him strong was curdling into paranoia. He told himself it was the only way to keep the throne. But all the while, Gaia's curse was still unfolding, just as she had said it would. Cronus had escaped his father's chains only to forge his own. Every god has a story they wish would fade away, the one whispered in corners long after the battles and the feasts are done. For Cronus, it was the story of his children and what he did to them. You already know the beginning, the prophecy from Uranus, the shadow it cast over Cronus's reign, but you may not know how far he took it. When Hestia was born, Rhea wrapped her in soft cloth and placed her in her father's arms. For a moment, there was peace. Then Cronus's eyes hardened. Without a word, he opened his mouth and swallowed her whole. Rhea's cry rang out like a broken note, but Cronus turned away, pretending it was necessary, pretending it didn't hurt him too. Demeter came next, the same fate. Then Hera, then Hades, then Poseidon. I wasn't there, but I've heard the story enough to feel the silence that followed each birth. Rhea grew quieter with every child, her joy dimmed before it could even take root. And Cronus, he didn't boast or gloat. He simply endured. Like a man holding a door shut against a storm he knows will one day break it down. But here's the thing about trying to stop the future. The future tends to find cracks. By the time Rhea was expecting her sixth child, she could no longer bear the thought of those newborn cries swallowed into darkness. She went to her mother, Gaia, yes, the same Gaia who had armed Cronus against Uranus, and asked for help. Together, they made a plan. When the baby was born, Rhea would hide him far away, beyond Cronus's reach, and in his place, she would wrap a stone in swaddling cloth. The day came. The infant Zeus was whisked away to a hidden cave in Crete, where he would be nursed in secret. Rhea, her face carefully blank, presented the swaddled bundle to Cronus. He swallowed it without question. And that was his great mistake. Cronus believed he had conquered fate, but he had only given it room to grow. Every day Zeus lived and grew stronger was another stitch in the net that would one day fall over the king of the Titans. Even now, when I hear the name Cronus, I think of that moment, the stone passing down his throat, and him not knowing it was the beginning of his end. Because even the gods have issues. And some of those issues are big enough to swallow. It's strange, isn't it? Cronus could keep the seasons turning, the Titans in harmony, the very cycles of the cosmos steady, but he couldn't trust the future. I've often wondered if that's the real root of his downfall. Not the prophecy, not even the swallowing, but the fear that lived just under his skin. Fear can twist even the wisest heart. You see, my friend, the moment Cronus struck down Uranus, he became part of the same cycle. Father replaced by son, as night replaces day. It's as natural as the tide and just as unstoppable. But Cronus believed he could step outside of it, He thought time was something he could rule, when in truth, he was only ever its steward. Rhea knew better. That's the part I love about this story. She didn't meet his force with force. She met it with patience of her own and with a quiet, clever plan. She didn't break the cycle. She simply guided it toward a better outcome. I think about the stone sometimes, heavy, cold, wrapped in cloth, soft enough to fool a king. How many of us, even among the gods, have swallowed our own stones without knowing it, mistaking safety for control, mistaking stillness for peace? Cronus's tragedy is that in trying to prevent change, he created the very change he feared. His reign ended not because fate hated him, but because fate was always moving forward. Maybe that's what harmony really is. Not the freezing of things exactly as they are, but the balancing act of letting them change without falling apart. I've seen kingdoms last for centuries when they understood that, and I've watched others crumble in a single day when they didn't. Cronus's name will always carry the shadow of what he did. But sometimes, when I hear the wind in late summer, heavy with the scent of grain, I think of him not as the devourer, but as the one who taught even the gods that you cannot eat the future before it's ripe. And so Cronus kept his throne, for a while. He believed his children were gone, the prophecy defeated. But somewhere far away, in the green shadow of a cave on the island of Crete, the youngest of them was growing strong. Zeus's cries were muffled by the crashing of the sea and the beating of drums, so Cronus would not hear him. Fed by the milk of a divine goat, guarded by nymphs who would give their lives for him, Zeus learned to walk, then to run, then to fight. Every season that passed brought him closer to the moment when he would challenge his father. And when that day came, well, Cronus would finally understand that swallowing a stone does not stop the turning of time. But that is not the next part of our story. Before we watch Zeus rise, we must return to the one who made his rise possible, the one who risked everything for the sake of her children. My grandmother, Rhea, the mother of gods, the mountain-born Titaness who stood against her husband without ever raising a hand. If you think courage only comes with swords and thunderbolts, wait until you meet Rhea. She'll show you that sometimes the quietest defiance shakes the world the most. Time has a way of revealing the truth, even to gods. Cronus learned it the hard way, one swallowed stone at a time. His story is a reminder that even the most patient ruler cannot hold back the tide forever. So remember this, my friend. The future will come, whether you welcome it or not. Best to greet it with open hands. Until next time, keep watch for the ones who change the world quietly. They may look ordinary, but they carry the weight of ages, and sometimes they are the ones who make harmony possible. Much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing, traveler. If you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia.